went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. Our office suite is suite 404 in building 400. So when you come into the parking lot off of Canal Street, you're going to be looking at five buildings. There's two on the left, two on the right, and one in the middle. We are the second building on the left, and when you come in the front door, we're going to be the first office on your right. So that's where we're located. If you want to communicate with us, short of walking through the front door, you can certainly give me a call. I'm going to give you my cell phone number because I feel it's important for you to talk directly to me when you have a health concern. So much of what goes on in healthcare today is about insulating the doctor from the patient and making the patient wait and all of that kind of stuff. And my thought is if a patient has a condition that they're motivated to get rid of, then you should be able to talk to them directly. So I give you my cell phone number so you can call me directly. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please don't text that phone number because it is just a simple flip phone. I do not receive texts. I will never respond to a text. If you're interested in communicating that way, you should send the text to my email. My email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. Again, it's my pleasure to answer your questions. This show is called When Your Health Matters. And I think health should always matter, which is why I've dedicated my life to helping people be healthy. But you get to decide when your health matters. And if you have a health affliction, if you have a health condition, if you just don't feel the way that you think you should and you're not getting any satisfaction from your doctor, give me a call. I'd be happy to help you with your health to get you back to being healthy and bring you over to the boat that I reside in. I live in a boat where I haven't been sick in over 20 years. And that seems to fascinate people because they seem to get sick all the time. And I'm like, which one of us do you think is healthier? You who get sick regularly, even though you think you're pretty healthy, or me who doesn't get sick at all? And it's like, so I just want everybody to be healthy. I think that's our birthright. We need to learn how to exercise our birthright. So I appreciate you listening to my ramblings. The man behind the scenes that helps me with this show, he's the man who comes up with the topics. He's the man that feeds me the questions. He's the man that is your advocate. He is the listener advocate. His name is Mark Sabin. He's a fantastic human being. He's a interfaith minister. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a wonderful father to his two lovely young daughters, and he's an all-around good guy and a close personal friend of mine for quite a number of years, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. It's such a pleasure to be here, and, you know, we're now entering the later part of summer, and this is the time where we focus on what we call the earth elements, which relates to the Chinese traditional medical theories. As the energies shift in that direction, I wanted to see from your perspective what the significance of the earth element is and how and why it relates to your health.
Well, the earth element relates to the stomach, spleen, and pancreas as organs. It runs through the first week of October. It starts in the middle part of August, and it runs through the first week of October. Earth is the element of harvest time, of abundance, of nourishment, of fertility, and the mother-to-child relationship. This element is also regarded as the central to balance and the place where energy becomes downward in movement. We get a change of seasons. It's the symbol of stability and being properly anchored or grounded. It's represented by the color yellow and a square shape. Earth's motion is patient, it's reliable, it's logical, it's governed by service and duty to others, militaristic, stubborn, and very energetic. And Earth is associated with the digestive system, the stomach in the middle body, the spleen, pancreas, and is related to the sense of taste.
Interesting. I mean, it's you know, what I love about this is that, you know, we, I think, really understand things metaphorically, largely, through stories, through analogies, this sort of thing. And when you just describe some of the ways that the earth element is described, it kind of makes perfect sense that all those things would align with that. So it's kind of brilliant the way that...
And it's kind of a lost understanding because we have these gadgets and gizmos that immediately occupy us and they distract us from actually understanding anything of substance. But way back in the day, thousands of years ago, when we didn't have any televisions or telephones or screens to look at or things to listen to, we really would get analytical and try to understand our environment, and we had plenty of time to do that. And so seeing the relationships that the Chinese developed into the Chinese five element theory and understanding nature and the flow and how all that happens and expansion and contraction and how there's expansion and contraction in the body and nature expands and contracts and what those interrelationships are, it's fascinating that it's kind of become a lost art and a lost appreciation until you just said that it's, you know, it's fascinating and we're appreciating it. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, the average person doesn't appreciate any of this. And it's interesting when I go over some of these relationships in the classes that I teach or working with my patients individually, they're just like, this is so fascinating. And it's like, yeah, of course it's fascinating. I love that I have the understanding. I love that I have the ability to impart the information. And I love sharing it with people because, you know, that's the purpose of being a human being is to help other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not helping a human being, then you're really not serving your purpose. And it's like, okay. So,
well, it's really, I mean, it all came out of observing what is and just, that process. And like you say, because we're so inundated by our devices and all the information that's out there, we live in the information world, you know, you don't have the time necessarily to spend observing. So to have these observations handed to you is a very helpful tool to be able to understand what's going on. Now, you said that the stomach is the primary organ related to the earth elements. It's considered a yang organ. There's yin and there's yang. What does it mean that an element is yang?
Well, the ubiquitous yin-yang symbol holds its root in Taoism or Taoism, depending upon how you want to pronounce it, Chinese religion and philosophy. The yin, the dark swirl, is associated with shadows, femininity, and a trough of a wave, and the yang, the light swirl, represents brightness, passion, and growth. So yang energy is considered masculine. Yang is very expanding. It's active. It's energetic. It's outward and lighter, meaning less dense. And unlike yin, yang is fast-moving and expands outwardly.
Mm-hmm. Now, the stomach, which is the organ related to this on the yang side, I've heard you say that the stomach is widely misunderstood. And why is that?
Well, most people never consider their stomach except for when it has pain or discomfort. And the stomach is the first organ to truly receive food for digestion and breakdown. And if this does not occur properly, it will start the process of developing health concerns. So we need people to make sure that their stomach works properly, and if it isn't, to address the true cause and not simply suppress your symptoms with antacids, calcium channel blockers, and other suppressive medications that ultimately is going to lead to further more difficult problems as you continue to age.
Yeah, I remember that the other week you were talking about how if you're when you become depleted, you actually work harder, and therefore you deplete yourself more quickly.
Yeah.
So, but now the stomach is not the first organ of the digestive process, and it's not responsible for the first steps. So what comes before it?
Well, as an organ, it is the first organ of digestion, but there is mm-hmm. a gland in your cheek known as your parotid gland mm-hmm. that secretes an enzyme called salivary amylase, and that helps you to start breaking down your starches that are in your mouth as you're chewing your food. So there's some pre-digestion that goes on, just like there's a prebiotic that goes on, but there's pre-digestion that goes on in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And if you chew your food adequately and properly the way that you're supposed to, you actually have a better experience from the taste of the food, from the texture of the food, but also in telling the stomach what's coming so that the stomach can adequately prepare for the food that's coming. Now, most people in our society, do you think they take the time to chew their food well, or are they just kind of shoveling it in and getting back to work?
I think we wolf it down pretty quickly.
Yeah, we shark it down. We eat like sharks. Mm-hmm. We eat it. Do we just stick it in and chew it a couple times and swallow it because we can't be inconvenienced by having to eat? And then we wonder why we have so much indigestion, because when the food now arrives in the stomach, if the stomach wasn't prepared for what's coming, then the stomach can't break it down properly, and you're going to get fermentation going on, and those acids of fermentation will develop as a result of the fermentation process, and then you get gas, you get bloating, you get heartburn, you get acid indigestion, and ultimately, if it's the stomach's trying to get rid of that and push it forward, mm-hmm. the gallbladder is going to send it back, and that's one of the reasons why we get gastroesophageal reflux disease. And it mm-hmm. all has to do with the person probably didn't chew their food all that well.
So you begin with just improper chewing of your food, and you've already set yourself up for some problems in
for
the stomach.
For failure.
So from a biological standpoint, isn't the stomach and the whole digestive tract really considered to be outside of your body, even though it seems to me it's inside my body?
Well, yeah, because it's physically within the outer surface of your body, mm-hmm. okay? But if you look at a donut or if you look at a tube, okay, mm-hmm. that if you got a quarter-inch thick tube, PCV piping, okay, mm-hmm. the difference between being in the pipe versus being in the tube that's makes up the center of the pipe, or like a donut, like a or a bagel or something. You can put your finger in the hole, mm-hmm. and you're not actually in the donut or the bagel. Mm-hmm. You're within the confines of it, but you're not actually in it. You have to break the surface and stick your finger in the donut or into the wall of the bagel in order mm-hmm. to be in it. So the mm-hmm. tube that goes from your mouth to your anus that passes down your esophagus into your stomach, into your small intestine, into your large intestine, and then out the other end, that tube of digestion is not physically in the body. The food isn't in the body until it crosses that barrier and gets into the bloodstream. Then it's in the body.
Which is why your food has to be broken down into its molecular components.
So it can get into the body appropriately so that the body has ease of which to use it for whatever it needs to use it for.
But it has to be thoroughly broken down, and I think what happens is sometimes the food that gets across that barrier is not fully broken down. And then you get
food sensitivities and allergies to the proteins associated with the food that mm-hmm. you're eating. Then you get food allergies. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, if the immune system attacks those proteins before they become amino acids, then you can't repair your body with the amino acids that should be being formed. And then over time, you can develop weakness in the coverings of the different organs and glands. And if they start leaking their proteins into the bloodstream, now you have autoimmune disease.
Wow. Okay. So that's a downward spiral you don't want to go on.
Definitely now, not.
It would seem that the stomach has got to be one of the toughest organs in the body. I mean, your stomach handles an awful lot of different things. So how tough is it really?
Well, it's tough in terms of, you know, there are those who are out there that they say they have an iron stomach. They can put anything mm-hmm. in it and their stomach's going to handle it. And then there are those who sometimes have sensitive stomachs. You know, if they put something in that doesn't belong, they have an immediate response to it. That's typically more gallbladder than it is stomach, but you can have a sensitive stomach. So it secretes a very strong acid called hydrochloric acid, which is designed to break down all your proteins, break down all your pathogens, and allow the absorption of calcium for immune system health. At the same time, it produces a film on the lining of the stomach that protects it from the strong acid that it secretes. It really is a fascinating and unique organ in the body.
Uh-huh. And that acid, which can create problems if it doesn't stay within the stomach, or if the lining of the stomach was to have problems.
Yeah, that would you get ulcers. Okay, you can get mm-hmm. gastroesophageal reflux disease, which burns the inside of your esophagus, which will eventually lead to a condition called Barrett's esophagus. So the stomach has two sphincters. It has the upper part sphincter, which is called your lower esophageal sphincter because it's right at the bottom of your esophagus. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the stomach, it has another sphincter called the pyloric sphincter. And what the stomach really is it's like a kiln. So the food comes down through the esophagus into the stomach. The lower sphincter or the pyloric sphincter closes off to prevent the food from leaving the stomach right away. And then once the food is in the stomach, then the upper sphincter closes or the lower esophageal sphincter closes to keep the food from coming back out. And then all the acid is released to burn everything up. And then once everything's burned, okay, mm-hmm. the lower pyloric sphincter will open and the food will proceed out. And then the upper one can open to prepare for more to come in.
Mm-hmm. And how long would that process typically take in a healthy person?
Depends on how much you're putting in. If you're eating a whole bunch of protein and you mm-hmm. don't have enough stomach acid, it could take all day.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, your body should digest, break down, and assimilate your food within, you know, a couple hours of eating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I said that the stomach is such a tough organ, it would seem that, you know, I mean, kids will sit there and they'll eat dirt and bugs and they don't get sick from that.
No, because you have good quality, strong stomach acid that has helped in dealing with all those bacterias and viruses mm-hmm. and parasites. That's why God made that stomach acid right there, so that anything that does get in
at the top of the chain,
you're going to burn up. And it's like, okay, so if you want to eat bugs and you got good, strong stomach function, you probably can and it won't be an issue. You know, we're, quote, a little bit more civilized, or at least we think we are in the Western world, and so we got to have our hamburger and fries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it may be true that these little kids can eat the dirt or whatever, but what about when your food has contaminants in it?
Well, your body is supposed to handle it, and if your body isn't handling it, then you might get a condition that's, you know, be attributed to what we call food poisoning, or mm-hmm. just food that your body couldn't necessarily process right. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the food was bad. You know, I've had a patient come in that said, you know what, my whole family ate this food and I was the only one that had a problem with it. And it's like, and we all ate the exact same thing. We didn't have anything different and we all took from the same, mm-hmm. you know, container, et cetera. And it's like, well, your body has a little bit of an imbalance and it didn't like what it was given, and you provoked it a particular way, and it lets you know that it wasn't happy with it. And so usually what happens with that is the gallbladder is involved, because the gallbladder decides whether the food is going to be good or not. Mm-hmm. And when the gallbladder decides it's not going to be good, you get heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, bloating, and all of those sorts of things. And if it really creates the sense of throwing up and you get that the actual food poisoning response, then usually the bile duct is also involved, and you want to make sure that you clear both the gallbladder and the bile duct so that the person can go back to normal. Simple solution for that typically is taking a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. That will help calm the stomach down pretty quickly. And if it becomes chronic, then we recommend a supplement called choline, to be taken before every meal, just to, again, clear the route, make sure that everything is ready for what's coming.
Mm-hmm. And what about when it comes to things like bacteria or pathogens that might be coming through that you would be ingesting? I would think that if you're healthy, I mean, someone like yourself who hasn't been sick for like 20 years, that doesn't mean that you're not getting the pathogens and the viruses and things into your body. It just means your body is able to handle them.
Right. And at the end of the day, that's what's important. Is your body able to recognize that there's something that doesn't belong and deal with it appropriately? The immune system is supposed to wall whatever's the problem, supposed to wall it off. Mm-hmm. Engulf it, digest it, and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the design of the immune system is supposed to do. The strength of the immune system, incidentally, is coordinated and controlled by the levels of calcium that a person has in their body. And calcium is only absorbed in the stomach, assuming there's enough acid in the stomach for the calcium to be absorbed. So what's interesting is we have antacids. And then Tums came up with antacids, and they added calcium to it. Well, if the Tums is designed to stop the acid because it's an antacid, and they're putting calcium in it, the calcium's never going to be absorbed because you're putting the acid out. So you need an acidic environment in order to absorb the calcium, and you need the calcium to develop a strong immune system, and the combination of the calcium plus the strong stomach acid will burn up and wall off and get rid of any pathogen that comes in through your mouth.
Mm-hmm. But now that you're taking this medication that has these two components in it, you must be depleting yourself on both counts.
Well, yeah, when medication that either blocks normal function or stimulates function is going to cause burnout within the body at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may be good short term, but you don't want to be on them long term. The difficulty is doctors are used to allowing people to be on things long term. I had a patient who used to take Ambien. You're not supposed to take Ambien for more than 2 weeks. She'd been on it for over 8 years.
Wow. Wow.
You're not supposed to take it more than 2 weeks. So 8 years.
8 years. It could be a little bit of a problem.
Significantly
there.
More than 2 weeks.
I would think so, yeah. 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 If you multiply that out, I don't
like
know.
Like 100 times more. 150 times more.
Yeah. Now, a stomach ache. When we talk about having a stomach ache, is it actually your stomach that ache, or is it typically lower?
Well, it could be your stomach, and that's what I help to differentiate. When a patient says, yeah, I got a stomach ache, and I'm like, is it just below your ribs, or is it lower in the belly? Is it by your belly button, or is it right below your sternum, right below where your breastbone ends? And mm-hmm. if they tell me that it's right below where their breastbone ends, then I know it's stomach. If they tell me it's lower than that or someplace other than there, then I know we're probably dealing with an intestinal issue, not a stomach issue.
So when we talk about heartburn, because your stomach is located right next to your heart.
It's right below the heart.
And so a lot of people think they're having a heart problem when it may be a stomach problem.
Right. Well, what happens is when you get the condition known as a hiatal hernia,
mm-hmm.
where the stomach pushes up through the diaphragm, the lower esophageal sphincter lets go, and the gallbladder is causing reflux and indigestion, and there's a lot of gas and bloating. Well, the gas is, it's easier for the gas to escape going up and out through the mouth than it is to go down through 26 feet worth of digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're underwater and you let out a bubble of air, where does the bubble go?
Up.
It goes up, exactly, because that's what happens. And so when you have excess gas in your stomach, the tendency is going to be to push the stomach upwards. Well, if the person's dehydrated, the lower esophageal sphincter is going to release, and the stomach is going to herniate up or push through the diaphragm into the thoracic cavity. It left the abdominal cavity into the thoracic cavity, and what sits in the thoracic cavity is your heart and your two lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right below the heart is the stomach, so if the heart starts pushing up against the heart's going to respond with being irritated, and you're going to get irregular heartbeats, you're going to get the heartburn, you're going to get the indigestion, you're going to get all of that, and all of those are typically symptoms of a hiatal hernia.
Of a hiatal hernia. Mm. Now, the food gets into your stomach, the stomach breaks it. Does the stomach absorb anything?
Just typically calcium, that's really about it.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to the food after it leaves the stomach?
If the pyloric sphincter opens appropriately,
mm-hmm.
the gallbladder, which sits right there, is going to analyze whether it's okay to go through or not. If you have your papers, then you can go forward. if you don't, then the gallbladder is going to send them back. But If the food's been adequately broken down, it then enters into the first part of the small intestine called your duodenum or your duodenum, and your gallbladder is going to add some ingredients to it, and your pancreas is going to add some digestive enzymes and other ingredients to it. And then it goes into the small intestine proper, the thing called the jejunum. And through the jejunum and the ileum, that's where a majority of your food gets absorbed into the bloodstream. And then the excess goes into the large intestine, and the large intestine filters through it to determine if there's anything else that we need to hold on to or if we're ready to let it go. And then if it's ready to let go, then you let it go.
Mm-hmm. So is there any breakdown that happens when it gets out of the stomach? Does it continue to break down the food?
Yeah, because the enzymes that the pancreas secretes and the liver enzymes that go along mm-hmm. with the bile that's been concentrated by the gallbladder, those are all there to emulsify and break food down further, so that it's really your body has several opportunities to break food down so that you can mm-hmm. absorb it properly. God was quite redundant.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a fascinating conversation, Dr. Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about stomach and your stomach health.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Why today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. It's the phone that I carry with me. I will be the one answering the phone, and it still surprises people when they call the number that it's me on the other end of the phone. But like I said, it is my phone. So if you want to talk to me, that's the best way to get a hold of me, and that phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. I would suggest if you're going to email me, do that. Don't text me thinking that you're emailing me. Email me directly at docrick, D-O-C-R-I-C-K, at spineboy.com. So today, Mark and I have been starting a conversation related to our stomach, this wonderful organ that helps to burn up everything that you put into your body, even if it's bugs and dirt and all sorts of fun things like that. If you're a little kid, where else you want to go with this, Mark?
Well, you know, we talk a lot on this show about nutrition and the importance of good nutrition and healthy food and whole food. And so what is the lack of nutrition that is in so much of the food that people are eating today? What kind of effect does that have on your stomach?
Well, it has a tremendous effect on the whole body, and ultimately it can sometimes show up as a result. When you're eating the completely refined and processed, what I call the crap foods, you're not giving your body adequate substance, adequate building blocks, adequate healthy ingredients for the body to maintain its normal function. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that will happen directly to the stomach, to your question, is the stomach will no longer produce really strong acid. So the pH of the stomach begins to rise. It becomes more leaning towards alkaline. It'll never get to the point where the pH is above 7, but the pH of the stomach, instead of being 2 or lower, okay, is now 2.5 or 3 or 3.5, and those stomach acids that that's secreting aren't strong enough to break down your foods, which means that you won't be absorbing calcium, which means that you won't have a strong immune system, which means that pathogens will get into the body, and when pathogens are in the body wreaking havoc on the body, then you get cool, wonderful diseases and lots of problems associated with it.
Well, I mean, one of the problems that we seem to have to face in this country is that, you know, something like 60 million Americans suffer every time they eat with acid indigestion.
Right.
Or heartburn. So
right.
We're not doing a very good job of addressing that, are we? No, we're not.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. You know, when I sit and talk with my patients about how to eat and the order of eating and proper chewing and support the digestive system to do its job, then they don't have any problems eating.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that 99% of the time when you go to your gastroenterologist for some sort of digestive problem, they're going to give you a masking agent that's not going to fix your digestive system. It may make you feel better, and it may not. And if it's not making you feel better or if it's not addressing the problem, then you're basically wasting your time. And so we want people to actually be able to digest their food, understand the importance of chewing, understand the importance of eating in a particular order so that you're not creating fermentation processes and causing gas and indigestion and heartburn and reflux and all of that, and making sure that your body actually has the ability to absorb its food the way that it's supposed to so that it can promote and be healthy. And that starts with quality food, not crap food.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned before this thing called GERD. That seems to be a big problem, which is a kind of a chronic ongoing acid reflux situation.
Gastroesophageal reflux disease is what GERD stands for, G-E-R-D, mm-hmm. Gastroesophageal reflux disease. It is a chronic disease. It is a severe disease. It's a ridiculous disease, and people should not have it, and they shouldn't be suffering with it, and they definitely should not be managing it because that's just a waste of time. It's a waste of your money, and it's making the doctors rich who are inappropriately treating GERD. Now, there are very many different causes of GERD,
mm-hmm.
but a majority of them are very simple to fix. But you want to make sure that you don't have any of the more severe things. So it's okay to go to a gastroenterologist, let them order all the tests, comes back and it's just simple GERD. Well, good. Then come to me and let me fix it.
Uh-huh. And it's not a problem for you to fix that.
Not at all.
So, you know, it seems that so many people are going to go see the gastroenterologist and they're coming away with these problems and they're looking for symptom relief and they're sleeping with their heads elevated and they're taking these different medications, but they're ultimately not dealing with the problem.
No, they're not. If you're going home and you're getting one of those beds that the upper part of the bed you can raise so that mm-hmm. you're sleeping at an angle, or if you're not sleeping in bed at all, you go down to your den and you sleep in your lounge chair. If you're doing any of those things, I'm so very sorry that that's what you're doing. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. I can help you fix your problem, and then you can go sleep in bed again.
Which would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And just imagine how much better you would feel if you could get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sleep sitting up.
That would be much better.
Yeah. You know, if we close our eyes and become unconscious, we're not supposed to still be standing. We're supposed to fall down and...
Yeah.
Lay down, and that's how we're supposed to sleep.
Yeah. Now, people, you know, weight loss has become a big thing, and there's this whole surgical intervention where they're basically clamping the size of the stomach to try to reduce people's weight and how much they're eating. Now, I've known you for a long time, and I know that this is not going to be something that you're going to look on favorably as a way to lose weight. Can you talk a little bit about this idea of stomach stapling?
I want to appeal to our listener, and I want to ask you if any of those things logically make any sense whatsoever. Reducing the size of your stomach in hopes that you're going to eat less, in hopes that it's going to help you lose weight. The body is a very interesting organism. When you deprive it, it hoards. So the more you deprive yourself, the more your body's going to hoard whatever you're putting in. I only ate 25 calories and I gained 3 pounds. Yeah, because your body hoarded everything it could possibly hoard. And it's sad that we've come up with these incredibly ridiculous, barbaric concepts of stomach bypass surgery, stomach reduction surgery, all the things that they're doing. And when I used to live up in Newburgh, New York, there was this doctor who would come on and he would offer a seminar to where you could come learn about the gastric bypass sleeve. And I just listened to the commercial every time it was on. And trust me, they advertised a lot. I just cringed every time I heard it. I'm just like, my hope is they keep advertising because not enough people are coming, rather than they're getting a hand, like a busload of people every time they have one of their seminars, because those people's lives are going to be ruined because they're never going to digest their protein anymore. They're never going to absorb calcium anymore. They're going to develop immune system problems. They're going to develop brittle bones and osteoporosis. They may fracture a hip as they get older. And guess what? The doctor is going to be so far removed from that that A, he's already been paid. B, he doesn't care. And C, that just creates more business for his brothers and sisters.
I mean, it's remarkable that you would think that, oh, yes, I'm just going to reduce this. But, I mean, why would God have given you a stomach the size he did if it was meant to be reduced?
And here's the funny thing. Some of those people who have had stomach reduction surgeries, okay, a couple of years later, you go back and look at their stomach, they still have the area that was reduced, but the area that wasn't reduced has grown back to the normal size the stomach was.
So the surgery doesn't even hold.
Right.
That's amazing.
That's a word, amazing. Yeah. I have other words for it that we will keep our G-rated show here G-rated. But yeah, put whatever word that kind of equates to ridiculous and amazing together, and you'll understand my thoughts about it.
Yeah, and because the stomach is part of the track that you have for your digestion and absorption of your food.
It's the really, first part.
It's the first part, and it's really about breaking down the food. There's not that much other than calcium, you said, that's getting absorbed there.
Right. There's no absorption other than calcium in the stomach.
So therefore,
it's not until after the stomach. But if you're not breaking the food down because you've either eliminated the size of your stomach or you've bypassed the stomach altogether, what's the small intestine supposed to absorb? Well, it can absorb, which means that you're absorbing less, which means that, yes, you are going to lose weight. But guess what? You're not going to lose weight and be healthy.
You're deprived.
You're going to lose weight and have a heart attack. You're going to lose weight and have arthritis. You're going to lose weight and have all sorts of other metabolic disorders.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that, as I understand it, that both coffee and alcohol get through the stomach and actually get into your system, the caffeine and the alcohol. Is that right? Am I right about that?
Well, they'll actually get in through the blood vessels in your mouth, underneath your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
They get absorbed immediately into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the caffeine response from coffee.
Like from the taste of it.
Pretty quickly. Uh-huh. Okay, and that's one of the things that makes coffee addicting is the fact you're basically freelining the caffeine as it will be going right into your bloodstream. And alcohol itself gets absorbed right into the blood. That's where it starts, et cetera. And it's not about digesting at that point. It's just simply about absorption. And so, yeah, you'll get some that gets absorbed through the stomach and through the blood system within your mouth, underneath your tongue, et cetera. And, but any nutritional value associated with it is going to happen in the small intestine. The challenge is that alcohol, okay, suppresses your microbiome.
So you're
going to have a harder time digesting, breaking down, and absorbing those things because you've disrupted your microbiome. And that's, you know, we want to sterilize our skin before we give somebody a shot. We swab their skin with an alcohol swab.
Right.
Okay, what does that do to your skin? It sterilizes it so that you can now inject something into it without worrying about injecting an infection as a result of not cleaning the skin properly. Yet we drink alcohol. Majority of the people in this country drink alcohol, sometimes every day, sometimes just on the weekends. What do you think you're doing to your digestive system as a result?
Well, it would say if the same kind of alcohol response to the microbiome, that means that those microbes are getting destroyed. Getting destroyed.
And then we wonder why we have so much indigestion and maldigestion and poor digestion and slow healing time and autoimmune disease and immune system dysfunction and all blah. I mean, just all of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people do things, you know, there's a lot of things that people do for the short term experience of, you know, having the relief of what the alcohol does or.
But again, you're not dealing with the problem. You're dealing with the effect.
Right.
You're trying to mask the symptom of anguish or the symptom of, you know, being angry or what have you. Whatever the reasons are for why people drink, I have to apologize. I don't drink. I haven't had alcohol since I was 18. I drank from when I was 9 until I was 18, and when it became legal, I was like, well, what's the point of doing
that
anymore?
Wait a second. You know? That's kind of backwards.
Why am I going to do that now? So it's it was one of the steps that I was making before I knew what I was going to end up being in getting involved in health, and I put alcohol away, you know. I'm 54 now and 18, whatever, 54 minus, that's however many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, 36 years ago? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been 36 years since I've had alcohol. So it's so foreign to me that I really can't relate to it, but yet I see people doing it all the time. My wife even occasionally will have a little glass of wine, or when we're out, and she'll have a simple one glass cocktail martini or something or other. But, you know, and there's no judgment from me. If that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. But from a health perspective, it's not the best thing to be doing to your health, and it affects how everything inside of you works.
Well, once again, a very enlightening conversation with you, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our sponsor at the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about some of the things that go on with your stomach and some of the things you might be able to do to improve the health of your stomach.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, please call my cell phone. I'll be the one answering the phone. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please don't text that phone, as it does not receive texts. It's just simply a flip phone. If you want to email me because you would rather text, send the email to docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with those concerns that you have that you would rather not have. And today, Mark and I have been talking about stomach health and the stomach functions and the importance of chewing your food properly and absorbing calcium and making sure you maintain the integrity of your stomach.
Yeah, and we talk often about the microbiome. And I wondered what the role of the stomach is in the microbial life in your gut.
There's not a lot of microbial life in your gut because of the strong stomach acid content. Periodically, you can get some microbes that don't belong in there, like a thing called H. pylori. And that may be associated with having an ulcer, that kind of thing. And ulcers are not normal functioning tissue. And so you could get an infection in an ulcer, which is what H. pylori is. And under normal healthy circumstances, nothing should be growing in your stomach. And that's why it's a very strong acidic environment, because it doesn't support life. It's actually there to break down things, not allow things to flourish.
Mm-hmm. So really, the microbiome is in the rest of your intestinal
tract.
Starts
in your small and runs the length all the way down and out the other end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that one of the things in terms of the microbiome that's being recommended, at least that I've found, is eating fermented foods. Is that something where, because they're fermented foods, that's really, I mean, we were talking earlier about the fact that the foods can ferment in your stomach. That's not a good thing.
No, you get the acids of fermentation, which is what creates the acid indigestion, the heartburn, the reflux, the gastroesophageal reflux disease. That has to do with poor digestion, not proper digestion, and those acids of fermentation. But when you get into the small intestine, you want that kind of fermentation process going on, because then that helps to feed that microbiome and helps the microbiome to have good nutrition and flourish and stay balanced and stay healthy. And or offers the most amount of opportunity for variety within the microbiome.
So help me understand, because if the stomach is there and with the acids in the stomach basically can kill off most everything that's living, when you're eating fermented food, you have living microbes in there, or if you're eating things like yogurt or something like that that has, you know, or probiotics, how do they get past the stomach and then into the microbiome of the rest of the intestinal tract?
Well, that's the wonder of how God allows for things to get digested. I mean, we talked earlier about it secretes this really strong acid that has a pH of 2.5 or less, which basically will burn a hole in your skin, yet somehow it doesn't burn the stomach because the stomach produces this little protective barrier that protects the stomach lining itself, even though there's strong acid in there. Well, the same thing with how these microbes are able to get through. They themselves have their own protection and their ability to withstand certain things, and they don't actually flourish until they're in the right environment. And so it's kind of like they have a delayed release. It's kind of like some of the medications out there. Like I remember seeing a commercial for a pain reliever that they drill these micro holes into the capsule so that it would be delayed release or something or other. And they got enteric coatings, and they talk about all this kind of stuff that helps to protect it. And these microbes actually have, they're like Marines. They have the ability to adapt and to overcome any thing that's pushing up against them and get to where they need to be to get the job done.
Well, this kind of goes to the principle of how you work with people and their health, because you're really about finding yourself in a harmonious relationship with the natural processes of the body.
Yes.
You're not trying to disrupt the natural processes. If there's a disruption that somebody has, which we would call a health concern, something's disrupting the balance,
we want to get rid of the disruption and bring them back to, I guess we'd call that ruption. Get them back to balance and harmony. We don't want any kind of disharmony. We want harmony.
Right. And so but that's a fundamentally different approach to health than doing something where you're trying to override something, a symptom, overriding what's the effect of something that's having. You have stomach digestive issues, and you take a medication, and then that subsides. Now your stomach acids are down, and you're not getting the reflux.
Right. The interesting thing is God created symptoms for a reason, okay? God wanted you to know when something was out of balance. God wanted your body to get your attention to let you know that something's wrong. So suppressing your alarm system, okay, so that the alarm doesn't continue to alarm you without addressing why the alarm went off. Does that make any logical sense whatsoever?
No, that's a very important point that you make, that God has made the symptoms.
Right. When we go far enough out of bounds, mm-hmm. we're going to get something that tells us you've gone too far out of bounds. Go back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a punishment.
Right.
It's just a way to say, listen, you want to reassess what you're doing. It's you're starting to get way off the ranch, and this isn't going to end up good for you, and you want to consider turning around and going the other way. And, you know, you'll get little warning symptoms when things aren't all that bad, but the further you go, the stronger they get, the more severe they get. And it's like, okay, if you're not going to listen to what your body's telling you, then you deserve the consequences that you get. But your body's, there's so much wisdom in the body. And one of the things is when you've lost greater than 60% of normal function, you went from 100% down to 75, down to 50, down to 40, you're functioning at 40%. Now your body's going to say, hey, buddy, we've gone a little bit off the ranch. We're getting into the weeds. We're pretty thick in the weeds here, and it's not going to end up good if we keep going. We need to turn around and head back in the other direction. And the way that it does that, it produces a symptom. Whether it's a headache, whether it's indigestion, whether it's heartburn, whether it's muscle soreness, whether it's, I don't know, pick any kind of symptom that you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's way of telling you, and it's your body's way of telling you. It's Spirit's way of getting your attention to let you know that, you know what, we're no longer in a state of ease. We're now headed into the state of dis-ease or disease. And if you don't want to have dis-ease, you want to get rid of the dis part of the ease and to return your body back to ease. And so these are little warning indicators that you're headed too far into the weeds. Turn around and go back. Go back onto the road that was nicely paved that you could see forever, and you could just stay on the road and keep going. Don't go off the path.
Well, and what's important about your approach to health is you don't wait till you get to that 60% of dysfunction. You're not waiting until you
are full. I don't want you to go off the road and into the weeds. As soon as your wheels hit the little vibratory strip on the side, I want you to get back on the road.
Right.
You know, we got these cool cars now. I got a rental car right now that it's got lane. It keeps me in the lane.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of self-corrects, and it's got this, and guess what? I turn it off. Why? Because I want to drive my car. And if I'm on a highway and I want to change lanes, I don't want it stopping me. I think that's more of a hazard for me, an active driver.
Right.
But if you're a passive driver and you want it to drive yourself because mm-hmm. you don't want to even think about driving, then you probably shouldn't be driving. That's my contention. But so what? They make this technology and they increase the cost of the car and they're making more profit and whatever. But when I get my rental car, I got to figure out where in the car, where do I turn that off? Because I want to be able to drive. I was driving a car up to New York one time from Georgia for the holidays. And the car, I didn't know this was the first time me getting in one of these cars. And it had to keep the right space between you and the car in front of you. And I got the cruise control set to 70, and I'm going down the highway. And next thing I know, I look at the speedometer, and I'm doing 55. And I'm like, why am I doing 55? The cruise was set on 70 because the car in front of me is doing 55. And the protective
barrier of
device within the car slowed me down to match the speed of the car in front of me. I was like, well, I'm turning that thing off. I'm getting in the fast lane, and I'm going to go the speed that I want to go.
Mm-hmm. That's, we've given up a lot of control over things. And one of the things that I think in your approach to health is that you want people to take control back.
Yeah, I want you to actually be the driver of your car, mm-hmm. meaning your body. I want you to be the driver. I don't want you to be the passenger. I certainly don't want you to give the control of your body over to a third party or a third party chemical. I want you to be the one in charge of your body because it's yours and do whatever you want with it. You want to smoke? Good for you. You want to excessively drink alcohol? Good for you. I'm not going to pass judgment on you. I'm just going to choose not to do that because you know what? I like the way I feel not getting sick. I like getting up in the morning and knowing that I can go do whatever I want because I'm not struggling to get out of bed because I have a health condition. And I want that for more people because I truly believe God's plan for us was to enjoy life, not to struggle and suffer through life.
Well, that's what we're all about, and that's why we do this show every week. It's an important thing that we do. It's an important thing that you do. As you said, devoted your life to this process of helping people have the best possible health they can. So if somebody's out there listening to the show and wants to do something for their own health in a natural way without having to rely on drugs, without having to go to the doctors for constant tests and surgeries and all the interventions that they might have, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
To give myself a call. I would love for you to call my cell phone. I would be happy to talk to you. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. It is a cell phone, so it is a different area code. Again, 845-561-2225. I will be the one answering the phone. If I don't answer the phone, please leave me a message. I'm happy to call you back. I want to talk to you. If you don't want to call me on the phone and you want to do the whole texting kind of thing, please don't text the phone. Please email me. Send me an email at docrick@spineboy.com. I get quite a number of emails every day. I will get back to you, and we will have a record of our communication back and forth. And it'll set us up for coming in for an examination, and we can consult, and you decide if it's going to be worth applying my philosophy to your health. So I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill.
On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill.